The date and the place are unknown to me, but the story goes like this. One day a guy fell off of a cliff, and on his way down, he managed to grab a hold of a tree that was growing out of the side of that cliff. It was just barely enough to hold him there. And as he hung there reviewing his options, he started yelling, "Is anyone up there?" And to his surprise, a voice said, "Yes." He said, "Who are you?" "This is God." And he was so relieved, and he quickly started, God, can you save me?" "Of course I can," responded God. And the man was really happy and shouted out, "Great, what should I do?" And he said, "Well, let go of the branch." Well, after a long period of thinking and debating, the man shouted out in a quiet voice, "Is there anyone else out there?" We are like that man sometimes, aren't we? We want God's help, but we don't always want to do what he's asking us to do. Am I right? We're not always interested in letting go of those things we think that are holding us up. It's tough to release our grip and to give control of our lives to God. We kind of know that God will provide, but maybe we're really not sure he'll come through for us. That's amazing. How did you do that? Sorry. I'm hearing that through the monitor. I don't know. Are you guys hearing it? Anyways, totally lost my spot. We're not sure if God will actually come through for us. And so we hold on and we wonder if there's someone else who can help us. We've been reminded in this series so far that God goes by the name Elohim, Creator. He goes by the name Adonai, which is Lord. He goes by the name Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And this morning I want to focus on the name Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. God provided for Daniel, for David. He provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. He met the needs of a widow. He delivered Gideon in the sight of the Midianites. And I know that he can provide for us. Perhaps the most moving and heart-wrenching account of God's provision is found in Genesis chapter 22. Abram was called by God when he was 75 years old, and he's told to leave all of the stuff behind that he has. Leave it behind. Just bring your family and move. He's called to a land that he doesn't know anything about, a land that God will at some point show him, to let go of all that was familiar and to do it in faith. And then finally, 25 years later, after waiting, at the age of 100, a son is born to him, the promised son, the one that God said would be, the one whose name means laughter. His name is Isaac. He was the promised offspring because Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. And so he's finally got a son. But God still has things that he needs to teach Abraham. And so in Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1, we read these words. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now at this point, Isaac is about 15 years old, which means Abraham's a young 115. And God is now ready to test Abraham. And this word literally means to completely, thoroughly, a demonstration of stress, to push him to the point of breaking. It's often used of God testing the faithfulness of his people. But these tests are not intended to break, but to demonstrate that they are good and reliable, that the person has what it takes. It's not meant to push him beyond that point, to break him. And Abraham has passed some tests earlier in his life. He's failed other ones. And he's about to face an extreme exam. One of which, let's be honest, it's a horrible exam. I would never, ever want to go through this one. One that he's never encountered before. But don't miss this obvious point. We are never exempt from the challenge of faith, and we are never too old to be used by God. Abraham may have been on cruise control spiritually, but that was all about to change. Because God calls out to him, Abraham! And like a true servant, he spontaneously replies, Here I am. And he's ready to hear from God and eager to know what God's message is. And this is the seventh time recorded in Scripture that God has spoken to him. And by this time, God is going to be demanding something out of Abraham that is extremely costly, that is exceedingly confusing. Let's look at verse 2. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Any volunteers? I want you to notice that there are four incredible phrases in this verse. Your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. God is making it very clear who he is talking about, and he's putting his finger on the fact that Isaac was absolutely everything to Abraham. Everything. Your son, he could have thought, oh, well, that's Ishmael. No, your only son, right, the one with your legitimate wife, Isaac. Isaac, the one whom you love. At that point, that was part of the problem, because God alone should be our everything. God was saying, we've walked together for many years, and now you have the son that you have longed for, that I've promised. Tell me, Abraham, is this son more important to you than your relationship with me? That's what he's asking. And to test that, he uses three words. Take, go, sacrifice. And those three words must have taken Abraham's breath away. Once again, Abraham is commanded to go somewhere he's never been. Because when Abraham had left Ur years earlier, he sacrificed his present security. And now God seems to be telling him, I want you to sacrifice your future security. A burnt offering is a total sacrifice. The offering was being completely consumed by fire and signified the complete dedication of the one making the sacrifice. Total commitment will always be costly. It's hardly a sacrifice if it doesn't cost anything. In fact, it's not a sacrifice at all. Anybody can give up something that doesn't matter to them. This was Abraham's opportunity to demonstrate whether he loved the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, all of his strength. And God gives no explanation. just an expectation that Abraham will obey. And when Abraham received this tough test of faith, he didn't argue with God. Not one word of objection is recorded in the entire text. Instead, he practiced immediate obedience. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Early that next morning, I suspect it was early because he got not a wink of sleep. I wouldn't have been told to sacrifice my son. I don't think I'd be sleeping. Folks, delays almost always turn into disobedience. If you know what God wants you to do and you put it off, then are you really obeying him? James chapter 4 puts it this way: anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and does not do it sins. But Abraham obeyed immediately, and he made preparations to obey. He got up early. He saddled his donkey. He took two servants. He got Isaac ready. He cut the wood for the offering. And by being prepared, Abraham couldn't get to the mountain and say, "Oh, I don't have any wood. Oh, I guess we can't do the sacrifice." And in a similar way, we need to be prepared for worship. So I ask you this morning, before you came, did you prepare your heart to receive what God had for you this morning? At the end of our service, we are having communion. Are you prepared to partake of the Lord's table? When the promise to Abraham was tested, he made preparations and then he obeyed. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he carried the fire. He himself carried the fire and the knife. The journey to Moriah covered about 80 kilometers and took 3 days to get there. Can you imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind? And again, we see that Abraham was determined to obey God when he told his servants, "Stay here with the donkeys." He didn't want them to show up at the sacrifice and see him about to sacrifice his son and say, "No, Abraham, don't. He says, "You guys stay here. I don't want that distraction. I need to obey." And this is the principle of separation. Sometimes we need to get away from those who will lead us down the wrong path. Actually, we should separate ourselves from anything that will draw our attention away from God. And Abraham has the faith to believe that both he and Isaac will return after they worship. Did you notice what he said? "We will worship and we will come back." And this is the first instance in the entire Bible of the word worship. We're brought up short in our weak definition of worship. At its heart, worship involves willingness to surrender all to God, holding nothing back. It's obediently giving God what he wants and trusting him to provide whatever we need. Abraham has the assurance that Isaac will return with him. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us this: Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Think about this. Somehow Abraham knew that God could do this, even though it had never been done before. God promised me a son, and his name is Isaac, and I now have this son, and now he wants me to kill him. We will worship, and we will return. Somehow God is going to raise him from the dead. And it's at this point we begin to see our name for today, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Back in Genesis 22, verse 6 and following, it says, as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine how those words would have just shredded his heart? And yet somehow Abraham has the ability to answer. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God himself will provide the sacrifice. The sacrifice will come from him. The word provide here is the word Jireh, which is very rich in meaning. It's translated to see. God will see to it, my son. It's translated as provisions. You see, God sees beforehand what it is that he will provide. And Abraham knew that God would somehow see to it for the sacrifice. Abraham testified that God would provide. And he trusted God enough to continue to obey by presenting his son for a sacrifice. And in verse 9 it says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. I've often wondered about this. If I was Isaac, there is no way my 115-year-old dad is going to take me down and put me on that altar. But from Abraham's point of view, I can't even begin to fathom how he did it. God had a specific place in mind, and when Abraham was given the location, he built that altar, and every stone he placed on that altar must have just crushed his heart even more. And to complete his obedience, he then reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. He had every intention of following through on his commitment to completely obey. And with that knife hovering in the air, the angel of the Lord came and called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! And once again, Abraham responds as a servant, here I am. And Abraham breathes this huge sigh of relief as he hears these words, do not lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham had passed the test, but he still needed to complete the sacrifice. And so God made provision. Jehovah Jireh made provision for him. Verse 13 we read, Abraham looked up and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. God's timing is incredible, isn't it? Somehow, miracle by the way, somehow a sheep wandered over and got stuck in a thicket right close to where they were sacrificing. just somehow. It's a divine coincidence, right? God doesn't deal in coincidence. He put that sheep there. And he put it in a spot where Abraham could see it. And it must have just shown up, because as focused as you would be on sacrificing your son, the noise a sheep makes when it's stuck, I know they're supposed to be quiet, but let's think about that. How could you not have noticed the scuffle going on as it's trying to rip its head out of the thicket? And Abraham could see it. It was caught by its horns. And what this means is that it was not bloodied, it was not beat up, it was perfect. And Abraham went over and got the ram and killed it and lit the fire to complete his worship. And the ram took the place of Isaac. It was a substitute offering. And Abraham passed the test, and as a result, he called that place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Jireh. Just at the right time, God came through for Abraham. He is a provider, and he always supplies the right things at the right time, at the right place. He's never late. He's almost never early. He certainly does not cater to our timetable. God tests us to grow our faith, to keep us focused, to make us fruitful. And it strikes me that before we can know Jehovah Jireh, before we can experience God as provider, we must first be willing to obey Him fully. Maybe you've never experienced God's provisions because, frankly, you don't think you have any needs. If you want God to provide, you must be prepared for Him to do so. We don't have to fully understand in order to surrender, but we do need to fully trust. Trust in Jehovah Jireh. So let me ask you this morning, is there anything that you're holding on to? What is your Isaac? It may be your career. It might be a relationship or a possession. Perhaps it's your retirement or college plans. Maybe it's a child or a parent. Folks, it's time to put it on the altar. And I'm not implying that our possessions are bad and that we should get rid of them. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that if we're not careful, our possessions end up possessing us. Whenever we have an Isaac that we have lifted up, God will eventually ask that we sacrifice it because He wants us to be trusted, or to trust Him fully. We need to trust in Him, not in the gift that He has given. And Abraham was willing to praise God and to give up that which was most important because he saw God's provision, because he was determined to worship the blesser, not the blessing. Trust God to provide your needs. And when you do, you will find Him to be your Jehovah Jireh. Jesus has challenged His followers not to be anxious about what they would eat or wear or even where they would live. And when we do that, He said, all these things will be added to you. So let's not be half-hearted, lukewarm believers. Let's give our all to the One who gave it all for us. See, God never wanted Isaac to be sacrificed physically. He wanted to be sacrificed in Abraham's heart. Abraham was willing to sacrifice and to promise. And God may be asking you to give up a promise that you're holding on to. And when you do, He may take what you have given, or what you give Him, or He may give it back. Either way, He will be your provider, and you will have settled who is most important to you. After Abraham encountered Jehovah Jireh on Mount Moriah, all of God's promises were released in his life. Rabbi Zacharias states this. He said, "Too many of us are missing the joy of seeing God's blessings fully released in our lives because we are tenaciously clinging to that which seems most precious. We argue with God that we can't possibly put our career or our family on the altar because it's the only thing that we have of value. The problem is that we have taken possession of what God gave to us in stewardship." Call out to Jehovah Jireh by name. Ask for his provisions. But first settle the issue of who is most significant to you. Who or what occupies first place in your heart? Because it's only when we sacrifice what is most important we will discover that God is most important. Not what we think is most important. He is what is most important, and he will provide for us in a profound way. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, God will provide. When you're troubled, trust in Jehovah Jireh. I want to just make a couple parallels this morning to communion. This story in communion, it's an incredible thing. Think about the picture behind the picture. Isaac carried the wood on his back. Jesus bore the weight of his cross as he walked through the streets of Jerusalem on his way to a hill called Calvary. Both Isaac and Jesus were obedient unto death as they quietly submitted to the will of their fathers. Both Isaac and Jesus were bound in preparation for death. Mount Moriah is where the temple is and where it would eventually be built. The very place where the blood of the ram soaked into the wood was where countless offerings of blood were presented in the temple. Abraham and Isaac traveled 3 days to the mountain where Isaac's life eventually was spared. And Jesus was buried for 3 days before coming back. Isaac learned about substitutionary sacrifice when the lamb was killed in his place. Just like Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God gave his life in our place. When Abraham experienced Jehovah Jireh, he made an altar so that he would remember. And we've been given something to help us remember that God is the provider as well. We call it communion. It's a table of remembrance. It's a place where we keep in mind that God has provided and always will provide. It's also a time for us to prepare and receive his provisions by making sure that we have surrendered everything to him. Are you ready to let go and let him be your Jehovah Jireh? Because on that day, Jesus met with his disciples and he said, "Here's the bread. This is my body. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the cup of my new covenant, which is my blood shed for you. Take and drink." This is what God has commanded of us, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me. If you're here as a visitor, I encourage you to partake. You don't have to be a member of our church. If you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, please partake with us because you're all part of our family, God's family. So I'm going to call the guys up to the front this morning as we serve communion. As a plate's passed to you, take it, pass it down the aisle. And once everybody has taken the cracker, the juice, we'll come back together and I'll pray and we'll partake together as one. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you came willingly to be our substitutionary sacrifice, to be the only sacrifice acceptable. We thank you so much that you went to the cross for us, that you are Jehovah Jireh. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for us, that it was acceptable to you, that his blood was spilled, and we are cleansed, we are forgiven. Forgive us for our sins. We thank you for your forgiveness. As we pray in Jesus' name.